It's taken decades and a massive shift in gaming demographics to make clear that video games are not just for kids. Recently, millions of adults have been buying another item that was once thought of as for children only: coloring books. It's all part of a larger trend of products and experiences, from footsie pajamas to summer camp, that cater to grown-ups who long to get back in touch with their childhood experiences. In Brooklyn, adults can even attend preschool, where they make crafts with glitter glue and have nap time. Call it regression or therapy, Adrian Rafel wrote about what is being called the Peter Pan market for the New Yorker magazine. And Adrian, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thanks so much for having me.
So what are some of the best-selling adult coloring books now?
Well, two of them are by this Scottish artist named Joanna Basford, and her first book was called Secret Garden, an inky treasure hunt and coloring book. Inky treasure, I love that. And then her second one was Enchanted Forest, an inky quest, and she draws them by hand in her studio in Scotland, and they just completely took off.
They're beautiful books. I went and looked at her website, and when I started looking into them, I found that people that I know love these coloring books. I was a little shocked.
You know, it's funny. I was talking about this the other day to a friend of mine who's in the same PhD program as I am, and she said, oh, yeah, I used those coloring books when I was, you know, working on, stressed out about final papers. My friend gave me Joanna Basford's books, and I just, like, they worked.
Well, what do you think is behind their popularity, and how popular are they, by the way?
Well, so Joanna Basford's books aren't the only ones out there. There's a Creative Haven series by Dover. There's lots of these books in England and in France. But to give you an example, this spring, Joanna Basford's Secret Garden and Enchanted Forest were sold out on Amazon for weeks, and they were just like the two best-selling books, and you couldn't get them. I mean, you couldn't get them on Amazon for weeks.
So that's pretty significant. But, well, why do you think people are gravitating towards coloring books for adults?
There's a sort of combination of things. I think there's this soothing effect of them, and they can both, like, sort of be as artistic as possible, but also there's zero pressure. And there's something about these books that is neither childlike, like you don't feel like you're sort of coloring in an outline of a character from a TV show or of like a little bunny or a bow or something, but also, you know, they're really sophisticated, intricate designs. They sort of put you into this is what proponents of them and people I've talked to who love them say. They put you into this kind of meditative, focused space that you just don't get in the rest of everyday life, especially sort of staring at screens all the time.
Hmm. What are some of the other components of this Peter Pan market that you write about?
So one of the ones that I really loved looking into is Michelle Joni, this woman in Brooklyn who started an adult preschool camp where adults go and they like live by a superhero name while they're in preschool, and they have nap time and they have glitter and they have, you know, school pictures, and they have all the things that are like sort of form the components of your first memories, but you're doing them as you're 30 or 40 or whatever years old instead of when you're four. And, you know, it seems kind of ridiculous at first.
To the people who are putting on this camp, I mean, is there any sense of irony about it? What are they trying to do exactly?
So I think that it's a combination of this sort of like of a sense of like irony, almost beyond irony. Like, no one could possibly take this seriously. So why not just go as completely ridiculous as possible and like go with the sort of, I think it's the idea that like if you sort of let loose and go with kind of this like crazily ridiculous idea in your spare time, you know, maybe that'll kind of loosen you up in the rest of your life so you can enjoy everything that you do and kind of have a little bit more spark in just kind of your daily proceedings.
It seems like there's a lot of nostalgia here, and I'm wondering, just because I'm reading another book right now about hovering parents and, you know, the damage that the helicopter parent can do, is this kind of idea that millennials or the generation of adults now wish to be protected? I'm not sure what's behind it.
So Some of the people I did speak to, some experts I spoke to, who were a little bit more maybe skeptical or incredulous of the progression of this trend, did worry that, you know, is this kind of a regression for millennials? Is this some sort of reaching back to a safer place, as you say, because of the both kind of the competitive pressures growing up and then the, like, pressures that you're facing, you know, like it sort of parallels a trend of 20-somethings moving back into their parents' houses mm-hmm. For really serious economic reasons. And then there's sort of maybe the darker flip side of all this kind of cheery glitter glue is this because we're having this kind of economically forced second childhood is one of the theories going around. And, you know, I wonder about that. I wonder, is that behind some of this really kind of almost aggressive, like, reclaiming of the childhood that one perhaps never had?
But you also write that this is not the first time that recessions give rise to these kind of, I don't know, let's say recess-like activities.
Yeah. It's funny, in a recession, you know, in the 80s during the recession, the hula hoop, which was big in the 50s, all of a sudden came back into prominence. They were remarketing the hula hoop as, like, de-stress by, you know, getting back to your inner child. So as much as, you know, people are sort of worrying maybe or questioning the inner child coming out now, this has been a thing that has persisted for generations and generations back.
Do you think this trend of the adult coloring books and YA literature we can include in that, you know, mm-hmm. summer camps for kids, preschool for kids, is it something that's going to stick around or will it just rotate like the hula hoop? I'm sorry.
You know, no, I like that. You know, I feel like the general structure of the trend is going to stick around. What's sort of on the table, be it hula hoops or coloring books or silly putty or, you know, toy archery things, you know, what people are using to express their inner child is definitely, I feel like, will probably end up rotating.
Well, Adrienne, thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Adrienne Raffel, she is contributing writer for The New Yorker, and that's where we found her article, Why Adults Are Buying Coloring Books for Themselves. And you'll find a link to read it yourself at wordofmouthradio.org.